What would you think Satan's most effective weapon to use against gospel preachers, elders, deacons, teachers, and all workers in the Lord's church would be? Well, what about discouragement? Yes, if discouragement is not checked, then despair sets in, and if despair is not overcome, then ultimately, yes, departure, sad to say. So, how do we offset Satan's effective weapon? Well, I want us to consider this morning 3D religion. Well, you can perhaps remember, if you're old as I am, the old three-dimensional movies where you were supposed to be a part of the movie. They'd give you those special glasses. Well, we're not, of course, discussing three-dimensional movies. What we're discussing is religion, which affects us and becomes a part of us, not a miraculous indwelling that is separate and apart from the Word of God. We've covered that in our study of the Holy Spirit, have we not? The Holy Spirit uses the instrument, that is, the Word of God, which He inspired. And so that needs to be a part of us. And as we go to Jeremiah this morning, we can find 3D religion. Yes, three words that begin with the letter D: discover, digest, and delight. And we'll begin our study of 3D religion in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we're emphasizing the initials PFE to help us stay in line every day to do just that, prepare for eternity. Now, we want to mention this, as we love to have visitors. And so we cordially invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville, as we, of course, study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And as we come together to worship God in the assembly, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth, in accordance to John 4:24, and that would be having a positive attitude, a proper attitude, as we worship God, and to do it in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus in truth. And I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Now, something else we want to mention. If you are interested in having a Bible study where we can sit down together and study God's Word, we'll set that up at your convenience. We look forward to that. And if you have Bible questions or comments, you can send those to us. Again, our address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And something else, our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, one other thing I'll mention, we do have Bible correspondence courses available. So get in touch with us. We'll look forward to hearing from you. Let's get into our study this morning, 3D religion to help us overcome discouragement. And as we go to the book of Jeremiah, we need to discuss first what was going on in Jeremiah's day. Well, the northern kingdom had been taken into Assyrian captivity, but Judah, the southern kingdom, had not learned a lesson from her older sister. So let's go now to Jeremiah 3, 6 through 11, and notice together. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain, under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. That's talking about, of course, idolatry. Verse 7, And I said, After she had done all these things, Turn thou unto me, that is God speaking. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away, and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the likeness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, The backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. So what was the problem with Judah? Well, we can see by a study again of a number of passages in Jeremiah, the people had a revolting and rebellious heart. Instead of God's word, they loved to hear the lies of false prophets, and the priests did things by their means. And this is seen in Jeremiah 5, 29 through 31, chapter 7, verse 8, and verses 23 and 24, and verse 28 as well, chapter 17, verse 5, just to mention some examples showing the problems of Judah. So, as we start out with 3D religion as the answer to discouragement, notice Jeremiah 15 now, and this will be our text this morning. We're going to read 15 through 21. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Well, Jeremiah is taking his complaint to God, is he not? Yes, we can see that. Notice now verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Well, that's going to be our focus right there, as we'll find 3Ds in Jeremiah's statement here. But sad to say, notice Jeremiah goes on to say, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Jeremiah should not be saying that to God. Why is my pain perpetual, and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Will thou be altogether unto me as a liar, and as waters that fail? This is Jeremiah, a prophet of God, speaking before God in such horrible terms, calling God a liar. Oh, that's sad to see Jeremiah in this kind of discouragement, saying these improper things before God, is it not? Well, notice, therefore thus saith the Lord, verse 19, if thou return, as Jeremiah has left God here, he needs to return. If thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vile, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto thee this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible." Now let's notice how Jeremiah can overcome his, of course, discouragement, as we're seeing here. And this is something we need to do also. We need to discover the power of God's word. Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found." Well, that's the same as discovering the power of God's word. So, as we think about Jeremiah saying this right before he departed from God and what he had said in such an awful way, well, this is going to have a great effect on him getting out of that discouragement, which we just have seen in that passage. So we as well need to discover the power of God's word as Jeremiah proclaimed. Let's go now to Jeremiah 23:29. This is after his return, of course. "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces?" His God is reassuring Jeremiah as he goes forth preaching and prophesying the word of God. Remember when Jesus taught in the synagogue at Nazareth and was run out of town? Well, we find this in Luke 4:16 through 37. "Then he went to Capernaum." And notice verse 32. "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." You have two very different reactions to the powerful truth being spoken. Yes, we can see that the ones that ran Jesus out of town, yes, they were reacting to the word of God, but in such a negative way and a violent way. But on the other hand, you have those in Capernaum, of course, recognizing his word was with power in a positive way. And we can go to Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and see how Paul discovered the power of God's word and was not ashamed to preach and teach the truth. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why, Paul? "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The Gentiles would hear the word of God as Paul went about as a missionary throughout the world at that time, did he not? Well, Hebrews 4:12 should stand out in our study of the powerful word of God. "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You know, the word of God is alive. Yes, quick. And it's certainly powerful. It cuts going and coming, two-edged sword. Yes, and of course we need to utilize the power of God's word. Just as we have electrical sockets in our homes, receptacles that need to be plugged into. And then we have the power of electricity. But if we don't plug in, no power of electricity. If we don't utilize the powerful word of God, you see, we haven't discovered then, have we? We need to discover the power of God's word. How important is God's word in our lives? Are we using the power of the word? "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God," 1 Corinthians 2:5. You know, truth cannot be found anywhere else. We've got to go to the word of God to know the truth. That's what Jesus said, wasn't it, in John 8:31 and 32, to those disciples that believed upon him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, look at Ephesians 4:21. as we see here back in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, as they were being reprimanded. Verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That's right. Let's never forget that. The all-sufficiency of the Scriptures is revealed in such passages as 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. We all should know this. Notice, and that from a child, back in verse 15, Paul is telling Timothy that from a child he has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now here's our passage. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, not sinless perfect, but complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's nothing lacking in the Word of God. Well, Second Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Yes, we need to appreciate the all-sufficiency of God's Word, the Holy Scriptures. Now let's go on to the second point here of the 3D religion, which helps us overcome discouragement as it did Jeremiah. Not only had he found the Word of God, that is, he discovered it and the power of it, but he said, I did eat them. In other words, we need to digest God's Word. This is our second D, yes, to digest God's Word. Now, Jeremiah, despite being discouraged from his people's, the fellow Jews' reaction to God's Word, was able to remain faithful after returning to God because he kept God's Word in his heart and soul. Yes, we see that. Jeremiah had said some vile things to God, and he needed to separate the precious from the vile. I have a sermon with that title. Even in chapter 20, verses 7 through 9, you see Jeremiah saying things that he should not. Yes, but he overcame his discouragement. He didn't go into despair and depart, leaving the work of a prophet. No, he got back to work because he had discovered the power of God's Word and he had digested the Word of God. You'll remember Ezekiel. He was told to eat the Word and then go preach it, was he not? Well, notice Ezekiel 3:1. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go and speak unto the house of Israel. Eat this roll, that's the Scriptures. Yes, and go and speak unto the house of Israel. Well, to digest the Word, then, what must we do? We must meditate upon it. Yes, 1 Timothy 4:15. Paul had told Timothy a number of things that included to accept sound doctrine and to preach the gospel of Christ, and so he was to meditate on that. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul again is instructing the young evangelist. Notice what he said. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to know the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. We're under the law of Christ. We're not under the law of Moses, nor the patriarchal law. That was nailed to the cross. So we need to, of course, appreciate that. Now, what happens when we fail to chew our food well? We get an upset stomach, do we not? You know, you could even get choked if your food is not chewed properly. I've seen this happen. I was fortunate enough to know the Heimlich maneuver and utilize that. And well, the meat that was caught in this man's throat went down. Sometimes it comes out, but nonetheless, the goal was achieved, and he began to breathe properly. So this is something maybe you have seen, people getting choked on meat or some other object of food. Well, the same can happen when we do not study and come to a proper understanding of God's Word. So we need to digest it, meditate upon it, study. We need to be ready. Well, let's go to 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, set God apart in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So let's be logical in our answer, not just I feel in my heart kind of thing. Oh no, that's not what we're talking about here. But to have digested God's Word, then we can give a proper answer to those that would ask us a reason, not just about our feelings. So let's understand that. Now, notice Matthew 13:22, because here's an example of getting choked in a spiritual sense. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Choke the word out. Those thorns representing the pleasures of life, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, they just choke the word out. That's not having digested them, is it? And then the person goes away from God, becomes unfaithful. That's the parable of the four different hearts. We want to have the good heart that accepts the word and allows roots to go down and produces fruit to God's glory. But let's go on. Let's notice what Jesus said in John 6. Several verses here we want to look at. John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The bread of life. This is what we're to digest. The words of Christ. Well, notice verse 53, still in John 6. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. This is not literally drinking the blood of the Lord. No, not eating his literal flesh. No, that's what the Catholic Church teaches in transubstantiation. But this is eating the Word of God, drinking in his rich spiritual word, the powerful Word of God. Notice verse 63, it explains it. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, that giveth light, that is. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. We must feed on the teachings of Christ and go out and preach and teach it. Yes. Of course, we're speaking of men preaching with a mixed audience. The ladies are, of course, able to teach the children in ladies' class, but not to become preachers with a mixed audience. For 1 Timothy 2:12, the woman is not to usurp the authority over the man. And thus, we need to stay with the Word of God on this. Now, let's go on to number 3. The third D of 3D religion, we need to delight in God's Word. Notice Jeremiah said, Thy Word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Well, had Jeremiah not delighted in God's Word, he could have been overcome by the evil influence of the false prophets. Well, chapter 23 of Jeremiah, notice 30 through 32. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. You see, they're saying God said it, but they're saying it, not God. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness, yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. False teachers are throughout the world, are they not? False prophets, yes, deceiving those. But you see, Jeremiah, he believed God's promises instead. Jeremiah 33:7-8, I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and I will build them as at the first, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. Do you remember how you felt when you realized you had found the truth? Well, do we still feel that way if we're in the Lord's church, faithful? We should be. We need to have the attitude of the psalmist. Notice, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Oh, how I love thy law. It is the meditation all the day. It is my meditation all the day, that is. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:16-97-105. David was the inspired psalmist. Notice the last statement of the verse here in Jeremiah 15:16. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah was called by the authority of the Almighty Jehovah God. We're called by the gospel of Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, we are the children of God. Do we act like it? Yes, even Jeremiah, the inspired spokesman of God, became discouraged, but he did not go into despair and depart from serving the Almighty Creator. He had 3D religion. That is, he discovered the power of God's Word, and he digested God's Word. He had meditated upon it and studied on it, and he delighted in God's Word. We need to do likewise. So what kind of religion do I have? What kind of religion do you have? We need to have the true religion that's found only in the Word of God. We need to be a part of the body of Christ, the one true church we read about in the Scriptures that began in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. We must hear the truth. Yes, we must have our faith come by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:17, believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. The evidence is there. John 8:24, we must repent, changing our wills and do the will of God, Luke 13:3-5. Now, we're ready to confess that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God before others, Romans 10:9-10, and then to be immersed, buried, underwater, contacting the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins, Acts 22:16, coming up out of the water to walk in newness of life and be added to the Lord's church. We thank you so much for listening today.